From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But they're coming to the finish, and it is all Barbaro in a sublime performance. He runs away from them all, and he has saved something left for the Preakness. Barbaro wins by 7.
Musket Man charging, and Mind That Bird on the far outside. The Derby winner, Mind That Bird, closing a late gap. But it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by HealthNetics CBD.
Senyata, Senyata, Senyata is flying, flying, trying to hold on, flying, and Senyata, the lane has won it ahead. Senyata ran her heart out, but had to settle for second.
Oh, they've opened up a six-length lead here with 1 furlong to run. They've left the field reeling behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are 5 behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the show that launched the entire network. This is the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, ready to roll for the next couple of hours. You are listening to this show throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, or you're tuned in digitally with our live streaming or the podcast of the show on our HRRN website. And you're doing that, of course, at horseracingradio.net. Well, 12 days ago, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act was signed into law. And whether you like it or you hate it, it is here. And it is without question the most significant development in American racing at the federal level since the passage of the Interstate Horse Racing Act in 1978. The major question now, and for proponents of the legislation, it has been the question for some time, how much is the new structure going to cost, and how will it be funded? Well, Pat Cummings is the executive director of an organization known as the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, which posted an article earlier this week spelling out the various challenges racing already faces. And there are several things such as funding aftercare, backstretch programs, etc. And he also presented a couple of thoughts on how racing can pay for the new initiatives without totally undermining the success and the long-term viability of the industry. And oh, by the way, not having it be another significant hit to horse players. And let's face it, those who gamble on this sport are the ones putting the gas in the engine. And Pat's going to be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern to talk more about that hot button topic and share his thoughts on some of those things I just outlined, ways that racing may be able to make this work. And by the way, we have a multitude of highly astute listeners here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So I wanted to pose this question to HRN Nation. It is our question of the day. You can go to @HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, or you can email the show and let me know your thoughts. Mike@horseracingradio.net. What is the most viable way for racing to fund the initiatives put forth in the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act? I want to get your thoughts on this. Let's get a little think tank going, if you will, over the course of the next 2 hours. What is the most viable way for racing to fund the initiatives put forth in the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act? @HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and email the show, Mike@horseracingradio.net, with your thoughts. Well, the Eclipse Awards will be held virtually coming up on Thursday, January 28th. They're going to be held from Spendthrift Farm here in Lexington. Again, mostly virtual. There will be parts of it that will be live from Spendthrift. A couple of individuals who are likely to be making speeches that night are Elliot Walden, who is with perennial leading breeder Windstar, and trainer Brad Cox, who trains a couple of the heavy favorites in some of the categories, including Monomoy Girl and Essential Quality. Hard to see either one of those two not getting the Eclipse Award in there. I think they're 1 to 20. Elliot's going to be with me to kick off the show at 8:15 Eastern after our first break. Looking forward to visiting with him and looking back on his big year, their big year at WinStar in 2020. And Brad will be with me coming up at 8:35 Eastern. He will preview some of his top three-year-olds for this year, including Essential Quality, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. And he'll give you an update on Monomoy Girl. I'm also going to debut, and I'm really, really super excited about this, I'm going to debut a brand new segment on the Equine Forum, which I think you're really going to enjoy. The segment is called Unsung Heroes, and it will be presented biweekly, every other week, here on the show by the wonderful people at Claiborne Farm. It's a segment that will allow us to recognize all of racing's unsung heroes, and there are so many of them. The people who play a vital role in the success of our sport, but rarely find themselves in the spotlight. Grooms, hot walkers, exercise riders, starting gate crew members, farm workers. How about office administrators? Without all of those tremendously dedicated and hardworking people, our sport cannot succeed. So Unsung Heroes will be our chance to recognize them, thank them, and let them know that we appreciate them and let you know all about them. You'll hear their stories, and some of them are simply remarkable. So many of them are. That new segment, Unsung Heroes, debuts 9:20 Eastern this morning, and I'm going to visit with Wesley Purcell, the broodmare manager at Claiborne. I thought with Claiborne being the title sponsor of the segment, it would be appropriate to recognize one of the hardworking folks there, and the Purcell name synonymous with Claiborne. It has been for generations, and you'll get a chance to hear from Wesley coming up 9:20 Eastern in Unsung Heroes. You also may have noticed a new title sponsor on the Equine Forum this morning, and I'm extremely, extremely excited to welcome Healthnetics and their all-natural CBD products to our HRN family. And at 9:40 Eastern, you'll hear from Healthnetics founder and longtime racing fan, Jack Murray, as he fills you in on everything that they have happening. He'll tell you about the product, and we'll talk about some of his favorite racing memories as well. All right, all of that coming up. It's a very, very busy program. Elliot Walden kicks it off in just about 4 or 5 minutes. Brad Cox coming up at 8:40. You have Pat Cummings at 9 o'clock. I told you that we'll bring you Jack Murray coming up toward the end of the program, and, of course, Unsung Heroes with Wesley Purcell of Claiborne. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Healthnetics CBD. For amazing relief of everyday aches and pains, try Healthnetics premium brand CBD.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Racing fans, Santa Anita Park wishes you and yours a happy, healthy new year. And although there is still no public admittance, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live. And you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. This Saturday, older fillies and mares take center stage in the Grade 3 $200,000 La Cañada Stakes at a Milam 1/16 and in the Grade 3 La Cienegas, which will be run for the first time out of Santa Anita's brand new turf chute at 6 furlongs. On Sunday, fillies and mares go 6.5 furlongs on the main track in the $75,000 Kalookan Queen, which also offers up to $22,500 in California bred incentives. First post time on Saturday is early at 12 noon, so tune in early to santaanita.com/live as track announcer Frank Miramati and Tom Quigley will handicap all of the races beginning at 10:50 a.m.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're coming for the top of the stretch, and it is still Global Campaign holding on to that narrow lead over Tacitus. The mile went in 1:35.2. They're at the 3/16 pole, and Global Campaign is in front by a length and a half. Tacitus is all out on the outside in second. Now less than a furlong to the finish, and it is Global Campaign in front. Tacitus driving on the outside. Global Campaign by 2. Tacitus is second, and Global Campaign will win the Grade 1 Woodward. Tacitus was second, and Prioritize finished third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Healthnetics here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You may be hearing me say that for the very first time this morning, and you might be wondering, Baron, what on earth is Healthnetics? Well, my reply would be that Healthnetics is a premium brand CBD company. Well, many of you have heard that term CBD. You might not be exactly sure what it is or which CBD companies to even trust nowadays. Well, let me help clear it up a bit for you. Healthnetics products are all natural, THC-free, and they're made right here in the USA. They're focused on quality and purity, and all of their products undergo rigorous lab testing with those results posted directly on their packaging. So if you have a few aches and pains, some sleep issues, anxiety, stress, whatever it might be, give Healthnetics a try. And with their 100% money-back guarantee, you really have nothing to lose. And how about this? If you go to healthnetics.com to place your order and you use promo code HRRN to let them know you are a member of HRN Nation, you're going to get 15% off plus free shipping. So visit healthnetics.com today. Well, you heard that call. Global Campaign. John Embriel had the call. That was the Grade 1 Woodward. It was one of several Grade 1 winners bred by Windstar in 2020. It was a fantastic year. They are once again among the leading breeders anywhere in the world. And Elliot Walden is the president and CEO.
It ties back to the horse. You know, you got to love what you do. You got to love the horse first. And when you do that, it creates a passion to be able to do the unexpected. And so when you put that with a good owner who's willing to buy the right horses, good things can happen.
Talking with Elliot Walden, who is the president and CEO of Windstar, among the top breeders again in 2020, and no doubt big things ahead here in 2021. Elliot, we heard the call of Global Campaign winning the Woodward coming out of that commercial break as I was introducing you, and he is now standing stud at Windstar. He's one of several new stallions to arrive this year. But when you think about the year that Windstar had in 2020 and some of the top moments, what are the things that stand out to you most when you look back on last year?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think Improbable's Whitney was one. It was very nice for Improbable to come back and win 3 Grade 1s as a 4-year-old and kind of redeem himself from a stubbing his toe a little bit at 3 and after being a very good 2-year-old. So that was one. The other one was probably Paris Lights and Crystal Ball coming down to the finish line and the Coaching Club Oaks head bobbing apart for our Windstar stablemates. and for them to be battling it out and to see that and not know which one was going to win. So those were the two memories that stick out. So, I mean, when you win a grade one at Saratoga, you know, as far as I'm concerned personally, that's as good as it gets. And to win two of them up there was phenomenal.
Let's not gloss over the fact that the Windstar Stablemates silks are the greatest silks in all of racing.
That's because you're black and gold. You, being a Steelers fan, you like the black and gold.
I think I texted you immediately after that race you just referenced and congratulated you, but also referenced the fact that those silks looked amazing in the winner's circle. So well done on that design.
Well, we're excited about the Stablemates this year. We've got it off to a great start. They've won their first two races. They got the year off started right. Two on January 1st. They won both races on January 1st, and one of them being a stake with a little nice filly named Gulf Coast. And she won the cash run at Gulfstream. She's 2 for 3. So the Stablemates, we're looking to just continue to expand that program. It's exciting. It's an exciting program. And if you want more information about it, you can go to our website. But it's a great, fun thing.
I want to talk a little bit more about the stallions that are just joining the Windstar Stallion family this year. We'll do that in a second. But I have to ask you about a horse that is a son of one of your stalwart stallions, and that's Spitestown. And I'm talking about Charlatan, who came back in the Malibu Stakes, which was a race so many people were looking forward to seeing. It was a great showdown in there, and the field was loaded. And Charlatan, gosh, Elliot, he made quick work of that field. That was ultra impressive.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal horse, and I've been looking forward to that race for a long time because we had Nashville in there as well, who's another son of Spitestown that's brilliant. And he made quick work of him that day. There's no question about it. Nashville shipped in from the fairgrounds, and I think we took a little bit of the worst of it doing that out there. And Bob had Charlatan ready, and he told me he had him ready. And if you look at his work pattern, he respected Nashville. And he, you know, and you can read in his post-race comments that he knew he was going after a good horse. And so he didn't leave anything to chance. I mean, he had him ready, and he certainly did. And that horse is brilliant. We were actually underbidder on him as a yearling. So we know all too well about him and very, very happy for him and happy for Spitestown, the legacy that he has with, you know, being the fourth leading sire last year. I mean, having horses like Nashville and Charlatan to run this year, and we're just real excited about both of them for 2021.
All right, let's spend a few minutes talking about some of the new kids that we're likely to see at the top of the sires list in years to come. And I guess we'll start with the horse you referenced a few minutes ago when I asked you about your top moments of 2020, and that's Improbable. He joins the roster, and a horse, as you said, just so brilliant in his racing career.
Yeah, I mean, to win a grade one at two and three at grade ones at four, he's coming in with, along with Tisnow, as winning the most grade ones of any horse we've stood here. And ran 67 feet further than Authentic in the Breeders' Cup Classic. That happens. But, you know, didn't discredit himself in any way. I think hopefully he'll be Eclipse older champion. We're real excited about him. He's a beautifully balanced horse. The things that I like about him are his movement. You see him on the racetrack. He's absolutely poetry in motion. I mean, he looks like, you know, Derek Jeudy or A.J. Green or any of those athletic wide receivers that just can run. And we're real excited about him and the City Zip out of the family Hardspun. We're really excited about it.
What are you excited about with Global Campaign?
Well, Global Campaign ran a bang up race in the Classic. He never gave up, and really showed that the quality horse that he is and his pedigree you know, have to bolt the arrow. The mayor, Global Campaign's mother, we had her, and she had three foals. She had Bolt the Oro, Sonic Mule, and Global Campaign. And two of them are grade one winners. We actually, unfortunately, lost her when she foaled Global Campaign. She ruptured a mesentery. Her name was Globetrot, and she was by APND. And, man, I just, every now and then I kind of think, what would it be if we just had Globetrot still and she could produce us some fillies? But his pedigree is so strong, and he was a good racehorse, grade one winner. He's got every chance.
Yeah, he should be a great stallion and a great addition to the roster there at Windstar. How about Tom's D'Etat? Here's a horse that earned over $1.7 million. He won 11 of 20 starts, so consistent. And at one point this year, a lot of people were thinking that he was far and away the top older horse in the country.
Yeah, I mean, we're real excited about him. I'm very bullish on Tom, and as we call him here, Tom. Tom, you know, he just got such a character about him. He's all class. He's got length. He's got movement. He's got class. He's by Smart Strike. He's out of a Giants Causeway mare. His races were exceptional. You know, we run some ads with Steve Haskins and Ron Anderson, two guys that know a lot about what a good horse is, and they think he's a really good horse based on his body of work. And you throw that in the fact that he's also a son of Smart Strike, the last great son of Smart Strike to go to stud, who's had very good stallions in Curlin. And looking at Lucky's a very good stallion, underrated. English Channel, same way. If they were dirt horses instead of turf horses, English Channel would be in the top 10 as far as stallions go. So we're just really excited about Tom's D'Etat and the chance that he has as a stallion.
Well, Elliot, it's going to be another big year here in 2021. I know it will be. Windstar, the team, Mr. Kenny Trout, who you referenced, great leadership, and you're right there at the front of that. So congratulations, my friend, and thanks for spending a little time with me here this morning. All the best in 2021.
Thanks, Mike, and hope to see, everybody that's listening on the radio back at the races in 2021 at some point.
Well, one more question before I let you go. Will you be cheering for my Steelers tomorrow night, or will you be a Browns fan?
Boy, that's a tough one. You know, I'm a Bengals fan, so I'm a gluttony for punishment. But I guess I got to say, Mike, that I have picked two favorite teams, the Bengals and whoever's playing the Steelers.
I kind of thought that might be your answer.
Good luck, though.
Appreciate it, brother.
I do like Ben Roethlisberger.
I appreciate it, man. Good luck, and have a great 2021. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Elliot Walden, that interview, like all of our interviews here on the show, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, up next, our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When I come back, it's your weekly Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift and a visit with trainer Brad Cox. That's right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Story of a man who was born in New York City on April 17, 1876. He graduated from Groton, Harvard, and Harvard Law. He inherited his 2,500-acre farm near Bowie, Maryland, and at first loaned out his stables. As his interest and involvement grew, he began breeding and racing horses in his renowned silks, White, Red Spots, Scarlet Cap. He became a prominent banker and sportsman and raced not only with enormous success in this country, but with recognized success in England as well. He bred the vast majority of the horses he raced, most of them at A.B. Hancock's Claiborne Farm near Paris, Kentucky. His own farm in Maryland was devoted mostly to the care of weanlings and as winter quarters for his racing stock. In addition to the success his horses enjoyed on the racetrack, he was equally as well known for the support he steadfastly afforded to measures meant to benefit breeding and racing and to keep the sport on a high plane. In 1935, when he was a guest of the Thoroughbred Club of America in Lexington, Kentucky, he was quoted as saying, quote, I am very anxious to see the day before I shuffle off this mortal soil when the English will recognize our American studbook in its entirety, end of quote. He raced some of the very best horses in England, thereby showcasing the class of American bloodlines. His primary objective was a victory in the Epsom Derby, a goal he never achieved, sad to relate, but his horse, Prince Simon, was second by a head to Galcador in 1950. His horses won the Kentucky Derby, indeed. Gallant Fox in 1930, Omaha 1935, Johnstown in 1939. Gallant Fox and Omaha both went on to win the Triple Crown. Johnstown barely missed all three jewels by running fifth to Chaladon in the Preakness. Among other racing standouts carrying his colors to the winner's circle were Fairno, Apache, Fenelon, Bonnie Beryl, Granville, Gaffaman, and Vagrancy. He was known as a man of utterly remarkable energy and often climbed out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch his horses work out under the eye of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, who trained for him for 30 years. In the world of business, he was the president of New York's Hanover National Bank from 1910 to 1929, and after a merger, chairman of the board of Central Hanover Bank and Trust. His career as a banker had incepted in 1903 after having served 2 years as secretary to the American ambassador in Great Britain. One of the most markedly important contributions to American breeding was his partnership venture with Marshall Field, R.A. Fayburn, and A.B. Hancock, importing the great stallion Sir Galahad III from France in 1925, a stallion who became tremendously influential on and a cornerstone, I might add, of American breeding. This particular man was quoted in 1935 as follows, quote, "I believe in changes if they mean advancement and improvement, but as a sports writer friend of mine complimented me by calling me a gentleman of senile virility, I think I may say that the advancing age of the turf is an asset rather than a liability," end of quote. The man herein being profiled was indeed a man of wisdom, foresight, and unqualified personal integrity, and was a man whose racing colors still burn brightly on the pages of racing history, white, red spots, scarlet cap. He was Mr. William Woodward.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington, and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of block type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by five block type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in six Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Attention horsemen, Nominations for this year's Triple Crown open on January 11th. The first closing is Saturday, January 23rd, and a payment of $600 must accompany that nomination. The fastest and easiest way to nominate your horse to this year's Triple Crown is online with a credit card by visiting thetriplecrown.com, or you can call Kelly Danner at Churchill Downs at 502-639-3825. The second closing is March 29th, but it will cost you $6,000 on that date. So it's best to get your nominations in early at thetriplecrown.com.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Healthnetics CBD.
They turned into the short stretch, and Hot Rod Charlie keeps moving up on the outside. Hot Rod Charlie moves up to challenge Jackie's Warrior as the field moves off the turn. Essential Quality is still third and still moving at the leaders from the outside. Final furlong of the juvenile. Essential Quality coming forward for the lead. Late run from Keep Me In Mind. Hot Rod Charlie to the inside. Essential Quality and Luis Saez have won the TVG Breeders' Cup Juvenile. 1:42.09.
Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you here on the Equine Forum. Welcome back. That was Kurt Becker with the call of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland. Essential Quality, leaving little doubt as to the best horse in that race, and maybe the best two-year-old of 2020. He is among the finalists, or will be, I would assume, among the finalists for the Lips Awards coming up in just a few weeks. I'm going to visit with his trainer, Brad Cox, in just a few minutes. But first, it is time to take a look at this week's Calling All Three-Year-Olds segment with Bobby Newman, presented by Spendthrift.
They're all in line. They're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
The Road to the Roses was in full swing last weekend with three big stakes, including two with Kentucky Derby points on the line. On New Year's Day, Aqueduct held the $150,000 Jerome Stakes at a mile over their muddy main track. Swill and Eagle Orb looked like the horses to beat coming in and were sent off at odds of 7-5 and 9-5 respectively. But it was the shipper from Parks, Capo Kane, who proved much the best. He broke alertly under Dylan Davis and went right to the lead. On the far turn, the favorite started to close in, but Davis never seemed worried as he sat chilly aboard the front runner. When they turned for home, Capo Kane let it out a few notches and drew away to an impressive six-length score. His final time for the mile was 1:38 and earned 10 valuable Derby points for the victory. Capo Kane has now won two of his three lifetime starts, and trainer Harry Weiner thinks he'll be even better as the distances get longer. He's targeting the Grade 3 Withers Stakes on February 6th at Aqueduct for his next start. There were a pair of 100 granders on Saturday. Gulfstream Park held the Mucho Macho Man Stakes. No Derby points on the line, but the Todd Pletcher-trained Mutasabek got back to his winning ways. He was coming off a disappointing effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, but got a perfect trip under regular rider Luis Saez to win by a length and a half while covering the mile in 1:35.4. Look for Mutasabek to stay on dirt for now, possibly pointing for the Grade 3 Holy Bull at Gulfstream on January 30th, next time out. Santa Anita featured the Grade 3 Sham Stakes Saturday, with 10 Derby points available to the winner. Life Is Good was coming off a smashing debut win sprinting at Del Mar, and he was bet down to 1-5 to remain unbeaten. The Son of Into Mischief set a solid pace while opening a big early lead, maintained it into the stretch, then held off barnmate Medina Spirit to win by almost a length. The final time of 1:36.3 doesn't seem that fast, but the main track was playing very dull all day, so that race was much better than looked. Trainer Bob Baffert indicated that Life Is Good may next try either the Grade 2 San Felipe at Santa Anita on March 6th or the Grade 2 Rebel at Oaklawn Park on March 13th. There are no major stakes for the three-year-olds this week, but the Derby Trail continues next Saturday with the Grade 3 LeCompte at Fairgrounds. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Malibu Moon, the sire of 17 Grade 1 winners on dirt, second in the world only to Tappet among active sires. Malibu Moon's progeny have won as many or more of America's most celebrated dirt races as any active sire, especially for three-year-old colts, including the Kentucky Derby, Florida Derby, Santa Anita Derby, and Arkansas Derby, among others. A living legend, Malibu Moon, AP Indy's best sire, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one, Essential Quality, undefeated, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Champion. Look for him in either the Grade 2 Risen Star at Fairgrounds or the Grade 3 Southwest at Oaklawn for his next start. Number two, Life is Good, undefeated Son of Into Mischief, the Grade 2 San Felipe, or the Grade 2 Rebel next on his docket. Number three is Senor Buscador. He's also undefeated in two starts. An eye-catching win in the Springboard Mile at Remington may run next weekend in the Lecompte Fairgrounds. Number four, Mandaloon, another one who's undefeated, a Son of Into Mischief who's also looking at the Lecompte. And new to the list, number five, Prime Factor, an impressive winner of a maiden race at Gulfstream in December, undecided where he may turn up next. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Well, one thing's for sure, when you talk about the three-year-old picture here in 2021, a lot of eyes will be focused on that Brad Cox barn because of the fact that he has the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, Essential Quality, and so many other talented runners. And he is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network to preview some of those top-class sophomores, if you will. Brad, welcome, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. I know it's a busy morning for you, so I won't keep you really long here this morning. But I guess let's start with Essential Quality because we just heard that Calling All three-year-old segment. He is the top juvenile of last year with that win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He is the likely Eclipse Award winner in that category. How good is this horse, and what's the upside here?
Well, you know, he is a very good colt. He proved that as a two-year-old. We're hoping he takes that next step from two to three. He's progressing nicely here at the Fairgrounds. He's going to breeze tomorrow morning. Had a couple works under his belt, since the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, really doing well. Super excited about what he's shown us since his little freshening. And, we're pointing him right now for either the Risen Star or the Lecompte. But, the Risen Star or the Southwest. But, the upside is, the horse that could get us to the first Saturday in May with a real chance.
Well, and I know that's something that you have always coveted. Fairgrounds put out a press release this week. It was an interview with you walking through some of the top horses. And one thing you said in there is that there are three things you would like to do in this industry. You haven't accomplished any of them yet, but I got a feeling it might be just a matter of time. What are those three things, Brad?
Well, I thought, starting out, if you could put together a career that was worthy of, get into the Hall of Fame, obviously, hopefully winning an Eclipse Award, winning the Kentucky Derby, I think that'd be a full career, and it's a very hard thing to accomplish. But, we were very blessed with a lot of nice horses, and hopefully at some point, we can get to the Derby and not only get there, but, be effective. So, just very, very fortunate to have a very good group of three-year-olds this year.
Well, you didn't set that bar too high, did you?
No, I figure, if you're gonna do it, try to do the best of your ability, you get one shot to play the game. You want to be there and do the best you can, and it just comes down to really just having really good horses and really good staff and really good clientele.
Yeah, well, I'll brag on you for a minute here. 1,477 career winners to date, more than $77 million in purse earnings for your runners. It has been a tremendous ride. You are well on your way to reaching those goals. Of course, the Eclipse Award, the Kentucky Derby, and that Hall of Fame still out there on the horizon, you would have to thank for trainer Brad Cox. When you talk about Essential Quality and you talk about his development, and we hear this a lot with young horses going from two to three, what are some of the key things, Brad, that you want to see to let you know that he might even be even better here in 2021?
Mike, honestly, you just look for the horse from a trainer standpoint. You're just looking for the horse to, mentally still want to, be there, be interested in his job, his training. Obviously, his works each week are vital to how he's developing and moving forward. Size, weight. He put on a good bit of weight there, say, the month of November and into December. So we're real happy with the way he moved, or how he developed physically. So, you know, those are, you're just looking for positive and more of the same. I mean, you did, you know, did nothing wrong as a 2-year-old. So, you know, we just need to continue that, you know, the first part of this year and hopefully all year. But, you know, obviously our short-term goal is the Kentucky Derby and getting there. You know, I think right now we're, you know, we talked over with the Godolphin team and we've talked about, you know, two races prior to the Kentucky Derby, and hopefully he earns his a slot in the gate. You know, he definitely needs to show up and perform. And you know, where we got a big long road ahead of us. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's that far, but, you know, he still has to show up and run, but we've seen all the right things from him so far this year.
How much different is your approach and philosophy when you're talking about a veteran champion like Monomoy Girl, who's getting ready for her 2021 campaign? And by the way, great to see her back in training. How much different is that approach and philosophy on your part there?
I don't think the philosophy or the approach is much different. I think there's probably a little more question with a 2-year-old or concern with a 2 turning 3 that accomplished so much as a 2-year-old. I mean, it's no secret that oftentimes horses that show a lot as a 2-year-old, you know, they may not show up and be as effective as a 3-year-old. So there's always that question mark. Monomoy, obviously more, I guess would you say accomplished and seasoned. So, you know, she's done it several years and, you know, it sometimes horses, you know, they have their window, but, you know, we're hoping with essential quality that his window is not just, you know, the fall of 2021. He can carry that over to fall of 2020. He can carry it over to 2021.
What's next for Monomoy Girl? Where will we see her?
We're pointing for the Bay of Coa right now. I've talked over with the Spendthrift team, and they are, you know, content with, you know, trying to get to the Apple Blossom as their short-term goal. And I think one race there at Oaklawn in the Bay of Coa would probably make the most sense for trying to get her to the Apple Blossom in good order. It would just be the one race and then give her a little time between. She really appreciates the time between races. She showed that this past year, and she just seems to be a filly that really thrives off, you know, 7, 8, 9 weeks between races.
I want to bring up one other talented filly for just a minute here, and then I'll let you kind of take us through some of the other 3-year-olds that people should keep an eye on in your barn this year. But Aunt Pearl, the Irish bred, who was just so good racing on the grass at Keeneland and you know, in the Breeders' Cup this year. Tell me a little bit more about Aunt Pearl and where we can see her again.
Yeah, it's possible. See her in the spring at Keeneland or Churchill. She's currently Paul Sharp's new fresh, and he broke her and prepared her for us as a yearling / 2-year-old, and we picked her up last spring. You know, super talented filly with a lot of speed that's able to just basically run horses off their feet. She's an exciting filly, and we're hoping, you know, once again that we can you know, have a big year with her. You know, we've talked about Ascot with her, with the camp, and that they seem to all be on board with that. But, you know, we would obviously need a race or two before we were to make that jump. So, you know, it's going to be fun. She's a very, very talented filly that we think, you know, just has a huge upside and be in it. It would be, you know, it would be neat to try an international race with her. It would really, you know, be a cool thing to try.
All right, talk about some of the other 3-year-olds we should keep an eye on as we make our way toward the first Saturday in May.
Well, as far as colts go, Mandaloon's a very nice colt. We're pointing for the LeComp that actually breezed this morning here at the fairgrounds. Had a fantastic work. I think I had him in a minute and 4/5 for the 5/8, and he's doing extremely well. So I just, you know, think he could be a really good colt. We have Prate. He just broke his maiden going short. You know, we'll probably try him short one more time, but, you know, he's a colt with a lot of speed and into Mischief Colt as well. I have an exchange rate mare, homebred for Judd Mott, that's really, you know, stepped up and showed that he's super talented first time out. And we have Acato River. He's pointing for the he's pointing for the Smarty Jones at Oaklawn. He had a big work this morning and seems to be on go. He was second behind two nice colts twice on the Naira circuit, and then was able to break his maiden in nice fashion at Churchill and a 1-turn mile. So I think, you know, he's a nice colt that's going to have a big future as well.
And how about on the Philly side, Brad?
Yeah, we have some really good Phillies as well. My travel column won the Goldenrod at the fall meet at Churchill. She was third in the Alcibiades for Larry Best Stock, so stable. That Philly is at the fairgrounds and training really well. Frosted Philly. Coach was able to win the Rags to Riches and then was third in the Goldenrod as well. She's a good commissioner filly that's actually at Oaklawn preparing for the Martha Washington Sunpath Genmont Homebred by Munnings. That's really good filly. We're going to look at either the Silver Bullet Day or the Martha Washington with her as well. But she's a good filly, and we got a solid group. Divine Comedy was a filly just recently broke her maiden for Godolphin that. Was able to carry her speed around two turns in what was her second start. So, you know, we have a good group of three-year-old fillies as well.
All right, Brad Cox, ladies and gentlemen. Brad, always appreciate the visit and appreciate you making time for me. All the best with the Eclipse Awards, the Kentucky Derby, and eventually with that Hall of Fame. Good luck.
Sounds good, Mike. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Brad. That interview brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. I'm back with the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, and a look ahead to hour number two, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling at Saratoga. Taprit's victories include the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes.
And they're into the stretch. Irish War Cry turns for home with Taprit trying to run him down in the last furlong. The two of them are now a half length apart. They are clear of Gormley and Patch. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
In his first 2 years at stud, Taprit has bred over 240 mares. Now his first weanlings have arrived, selling for up to $100,000. One of the best bred sons of sire of sires, Taprit, to ever enter stud. Classic winner and stakes record setter, Taprit, standing at Gainesway.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, comes your way every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Bobby Newman joins me to bring you all of the fall and winter action from places like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Del Mar, and Churchill, as well as interviews with the biggest players in thoroughbred racing. That's Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live at horseracingradio.net.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by HealthNetics CBD.
They're coming down to the quarter pole. Capo came. He's been there from the start. Dylan Davis took a peek back to see that Swills under a ride. Eagle Orb is coming three wide as the field makes their way down to the eighth pole. It's still Capo came. He's trying to take him gate to wire in the Jerome, and he's opened up a two-length lead now. Capo came. He wanders to the middle of the track past the 16th pole, but he's three lengths in front of Eagle Orb and comes down to the line. A five-length winner of the Jerome, Capo Kane over Eagle Orb. It got tight for third. Final time for the mile was 1:38 flat.
The Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for John Embriel with the call of the Jerome New Year's Day. Capo Kane getting the victory for trainer Harry Wider, who is our industry star of the week. This segment brought to you at this time every Saturday by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation, and he wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, and South Bend, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels, and you can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales around the country. Well, Harry Wider has had quite a journey since beginning his career in England, and he is this week's industry star of the week, the trainer of Jerome winner Capo Kane. He started by looking back on that memorable day, January 1st.
Oh, it felt excellent. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's something I'll never forget, and hopefully there's many more.
Take me back to the moment when he turns for home and starts to pull away.
Oh, when he turned for home, and I saw Dylan look over his right shoulder, I knew he still had plenty of horse. And when he started pulling away, I just started screaming. It was just unbelievable. I got goosebumps all over my body.
How about when he crosses the finish line and you realize, oh, my gosh, we just did this?
Yeah, I started screaming so loud they could hear me at the starting gate that said on the other side of the racetrack.
Isn't that what this game is all about, though, Harry? I mean, look, forget about the number of horses you saddled prior to this. In winning, I've said this for many years, winning a claiming race, a maiden claimer, it doesn't matter. You win a horse race, it's a special thing. And that feeling is indescribable, really, for people that have never experienced it. But to win a race like the Jerome with a horse that you know is this talented, is that a little bit of a different level?
Yeah, I mean, every horse, when I win a race, I'm excited. But, you know, but to win a race of that magnitude and the way he did it, it's something exceptional. It's just a feeling that I'll never be able, you know, hopefully I can describe again.
You said that you thought he would run well, but you didn't necessarily expect him to win by more than six lengths and as easily as he did. What surprised you most about that performance?
The thing that surprised me most was the way he did it. He broke sharp, and just the way how much horse Dylan had and the horse's ears was up. He wasn't even really trying very hard. He just did it all on his own. And when he pulled away, it was just unbelievable, you know. I thought the horse would be really competitive in there. There was a couple of real nice horses in there. But he just showed himself that day, and he just pulled away real easy.
How many times have you gone back and watched the replay of that race, Harry?
Oh, I watch it every night. My wife's fed up of watching it. She's like, you're putting that on again? I go, yep.
Hey, why not? You get the right to watch that as much as you want to. It's kind of like a lullaby for you before you go to bed.
That's right.
Let's go back to the beginning here, Harry. I mentioned you're born in England, rode steeplechase races. Take me back to the very beginning, though, the young Harry Wider growing up. Were you always interested in horses as a kid?
It's kind of funny, really, because none of my family liked horses. My mother, my father, they all hate horses. But my great-great-grandfather was a jockey back in the day when I went back. So when I was like 4 years old, we had a riding school near me in Hilton Park, it was called. And I went over there, and I got on this little Shetland pony. I'll never forget it. It was like 30 years old. His name was Joey. And he ran off with me across the field and got down and rolled over the top of me. And I got up and I started laughing. And from then, I just said, this was great. I guess I was a crazy kid back then. And I went to riding lessons. And when I was 10 years old, I was teaching people how to ride horses. My teacher couldn't believe how much I learned. I was just a natural, she said. So
you're 10 years old, like you're giving people riding lessons at the age of 10. Did you know at that point, look, I don't know what else is out there, but I just want to be around horses?
Yeah, I just knew then. I used to, in England, when we went to school, I walked to school because the school was right down the road from my house, and I used to take an extra set of clothes and leave to go to school, change into my stable clothes and go to the stables instead of going to school. I used to skip school, and then my mother would get letters that I didn't show up for school, and then my sister had to write a letter back saying I was sick. She used to get me out of it all the time.
Was there ever a point as you were growing up that you said, okay, maybe I'll end up doing something else, or was this it for you?
No, it was never a point. I always wanted to be with the horses.
What happened after high school?
After high school, I got lucky because I was a pretty bad kid in school. I finished my exams, and my headmaster, who was in charge of a school, his brother was a horse trainer at the time called W.A. Stevenson, who was one of the biggest steeplechase trainers, and he took a liking to me. And he got me, after I left school, he got me a job with his brother, W.A. Stevenson at the time, in Bishop Auckland. And when you go there, I groomed 6 horses, and they were my horses. I had to ride them. I groomed them. I did everything with those horses. They were like kids to me. Nobody else touched them but me. I took them to the races, everything. And that's how I learned.
Wow, what a ride. What a journey this has been, starting in England and being aboard a Shetland pony named Joey and getting rolled over and then ending up here on the Kentucky Derby Trail. It is pretty special, Harry, and really excited for you. When you think about everything you've been through, everything you've overcome, all of the different things that you've gone through in your career, what do you think you're most proud of to this point, Harry?
I'm proud of where I've come from. I started this stable with 2 horses, and now I'm up to 24. I only had 1 owner. Now I've got a couple of owners. Obviously, I'm looking for more owners. Hopefully I can improve my stock. I'm just happy with everything that's happened, and I've overcome a lot. I mean, I've had a lot of people say I'd never make it. I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing that wrong. And I just tell everybody it's a dream, you know. If you really want it, you can do it. You just got to work. It's just hard work.
What do you think you would be doing if you weren't training racehorses?
I'll probably be in jail.
That is Harry Wider, our industry star of the week, one of the most honest and probably the best answer I've ever received to that question when I asked a trainer, what do you think you'd be doing if you weren't doing this as a profession? I'd probably be in jail. You know what? After hearing that entire interview with him, and by the way, he joined me for a full hour on our Trainer Talk show this past Wednesday. You can listen to the full show at horseracingradio.net. He might be right. He has been through a lot, and he has overcome a lot, and here he is on the Derby Trail with a horse like Capo Kane. Harry Wider, our Industry Star of the Week, that segment brought to you by Stuart Morris. All right, second half of the show kicks off with Pat Cummings, the executive director of the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, talking about ways to fund the new legislation approved for horse racing that was signed into law about 12 days ago. Then a brand new segment coming up at 9:40, our Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne, and it's going to be my visit with Wesley Purcell, who is the broodmare manager at Claiborne, and then Jack Murray, the founder of Healthnetics CBD and longtime racing fan. He'll be with me at the end of the show right around 9:40. That's all ahead right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is California Chrome in front, and from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second, but California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby!
Into the final furlong, there will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Healthnetics CBD.
Gunrunner needs another 16th. It's Gunrunner in front. He'll go out a winner. He's the horse of the year, and he's Gunrunner with an unforgettable performance in the Pegasus World Cup.
And Vino Rosso is right to him on the outside.
outside. Vito Rosso has taken the lead, and he powers away under Irad Ortiz Jr. Vito Rosso, like father, like son, the son of Carlin, romps in the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Healthnetics CBD. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. If you missed any portion of the first half of the show, my interviews with Elliot Walden from Windstar, trainer Brad Cox, or the industry star of the week, Harry Wider, simply head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows at your leisure, horseracingradio.net, Horse Racing Radio Network, on Apple Podcasts as well. I threw out a poll question at the top of the show, and so far the response is a bit slow, so go ahead and pick those up if you have some thoughts on this. I wanted to create somewhat of a think tank this morning, if you will, on the Equine Forum. We have so many very astute listeners. What is the most viable way for racing to fund the initiatives put forth in the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act that was signed into law 12 days ago? You can go to @HRRN on Twitter to share your thoughts, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, or you can email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. One person who has laid things out beautifully is Pat Cummings, who is the executive director of an organization known as the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation. He posted an article earlier this week spelling out some of the various financial challenges already facing racing, and then some of the ways that racing might be able to fund this new legislation without compromising the integrity and the viability of the sport. And Pat is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Pat, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
This is a topic that is going to be talked about over the next couple of months for sure, but it's already been talked about for several months. The proponents of this law, this legislation, said, hey, wait a minute, this is a big concern. Once you get it in there, how are we going to fund it? So let's start, I guess, Pat, because your letter was, your article was very well written. Let's start by talking about the particulars and the things that are going to have to be funded with this new piece of legislation that is now law.
Sure. So I think the easiest way to think about this is that while there are, you know, roughly 40 states that have racing right now, all of them do things a little bit differently, right? They fund the way in which racing is regulated differently. There's different testing requirements. Trainers know very well that there are different levels for testing and different requirements that they have. Different people are licensed differently in different states. So we have a very piecemeal approach to the sport. Well, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority is going to institute essentially a level of federal bureaucracy nationwide that will make some elements of this uniform, but at the same time, it's not stripping away what's being done at the state level entirely either. So now there, you wouldn't just be reporting to an individual state commission for all matters. Now the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority is going to have some jurisdiction essentially on matters as it relates to medication and doping control. Well, that's expensive. And just with many other liabilities that horse racing has and have increased over the last few decades, whether it be aftercare initiatives, backstretch philanthropic programs, jockey health, equine research, all of these things that the industry essentially self-funds, now it's going to need to fund federal oversight and doping control within the sport. And that is coming with a price tag. And so the details, obviously, have not yet been ironed out, but it is time to start asking the questions. How much is it going to cost? Where's that money going to come from?
Well, that was my next question, Pat. Are there any estimates as to what this funding mechanism might look like and how much it could end up costing Thoroughbred racing?
So we put out an initial estimate based on what I'll call, for lack of a better term, the California standard, which in our research I would suggest is probably the American gold standard or pretty close to the gold standard in terms of drug testing. within the sport. That's both in and out of competition testing in horse racing. All of their tests are run through the Ken Matty Lab out in California, which is one of just five reference laboratories, which is also essentially the top standard for the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. So if you go off of the numbers that come out of California and how much they spend, nationwide testing costs would probably end up running about $20 million. The problem that racing is going to face over the next 18 months trying to determine how much each state has to pay for its participation in this new authority is that the standards in other states don't quite match what is being done in a place like California right now. We've estimated that California spends roughly $630 per race, whereas other states are spending on the order of $400 a race for a drug testing, both including in and out of competition tests, but just averaging it out on a per race basis. So it's going to get more expensive for some states. And as the bill lays out, the states are going to basically be told, here is how much you owe us. And then it's up to the states to either figure out how to do that or say, we're going to turn it over to the authority and they're going to have to tell our licensees how they're going to owe, essentially, to cover this. Well, like I said, there will be increased costs. So that $20 million figure is only for the testing. It's not for the administration. It's not for the record keeping. It's not for the, like I said, layer of federal bureaucracy over the top of that. The conversation really does need to begin. And what our recommendation was, Mike, is that at the end of the day, you cannot charge this back to horse players, right? The individual bettors themselves should not be responsible for this through increases in takeout or other fees or expenses that are charged back to the bettors. That would be a very counterproductive decision, that you really need to find ways to grow the wagering business. And within that, we think there will be an opportunity to pay for it.
Yeah, I like that part of your article where you said grow the business. It was three simple words, but you mentioned it a few different times. And yeah. I guess my question there is, what are we've had two decades of decline, essentially, Pat. What are the ways and some of the measures that racing can take to turn this around and to grow the business? How do you see that happening?
So we've linked to it in our story. I'll tweet it out at Racing Ideas and through my own Twitter account, Pat Cummings TIF, after I get off with you, Mike. There are links within this piece to some other stories we have written, some other reports and white papers about how we think racing's wagering business needs to evolve. Now, there is not one individual solution that is going to be better than another. It is a combination of many things. So among them, we think that what needs to be considered is appropriate pricing of bets. In terms of what we call educated gambles, like horse racing, it is too expensive. The actual takeout rates are too high. Not everywhere, not in every bet type, but it is currently inappropriately high. We need to consider ways to bring that down because we believe that will inspire more wagering. You give more money back to bettors, they will send more money through the windows. That increased churn is good for business. You have to consider ways to improve access to the data that horse players get and find ways to make it more accurate. Again, trying to inspire play, complementing parimutuel wagering with fixed odds options. Fixed odds, quote-unquote, sports betting, it's not a panacea, right? It is not going to solve all our problems, but it is a way to evolve the market. It is a way to modernize and present customers with a solution, an opportunity that really meets all of the other evolution in some of these markets. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Illinois is going great guns with sports betting at the moment. We need to have racing in that sphere and in that shared platform, and right now it's not. Infrastructure improvements, transparency improvements. We need to better report on our sport. Stewards need to be more active, more engaged. And we just saw it recently at Santa Anita after it was suspected that a couple horses may have bled in a race without Lasix a few weeks ago, or rather really just last week. I guess it was on New Year's Day. And, you know, horse players not understanding, did a horse bleed, did it not, and getting that reporting done. And the thing is, Mike, the rest of the world is doing this. You know, so there are examples to follow. We would not be reinventing the wheel here. We would merely be kind of catching up to the rest of the horse racing world. And frankly, in a lot of these things, when it comes to data availability, appropriate pricing, fixed odds options, kind of developing your product, and really modernizing bet processing, wagering infrastructures, and transparency. We're not doing something new in horse racing. We would just be doing something new for horse racing in America. The result of that, however, the result of that needed investment to upgrade our systems is being able to afford the liabilities of our sport, which have grown over the last two or three decades. We didn't have as many liabilities 20, 30 years ago as we do now, things we absolutely have to do in order to keep racing, to keep our social license. And this is just part of that. So it's really about evolution. There's kind of a macro level and a micro level, and altogether we think this will help pay for all of these liabilities and many others too.
So to sum it all up, basically what you're saying, Pat, is it's a very simple fix, right?
Exactly, Mike. I'll just go have another cup of coffee and sit back and enjoy the success of this. Yeah, look, it is hard work. There's no doubting it, but for the tens of thousands of dedicated horse people across America, it's worth it for them, for their livelihoods, for the perpetuation of the great thoroughbred, for all of these people who dedicate their lives to the sport. We have to do this. This is not just about finding ways to make money in a wagering business. This is about sustaining the sport and all the wonderful people across it, tens of thousands of them across America.
Yeah, and again, whether you were for this piece of legislation or against it, it doesn't matter now because it has been signed into law. It is here, and now we've got to find ways to deal with it, and as Pat laid out beautifully, ways to fund it and how we can move forward from here. Pat Cummings, the executive director of the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This interview, like all of our interviews on the show, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Pat, listen, man, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for taking the time. Keep up all the wonderful work, and we'll look forward to hearing more from you here up the road.
Thanks so much, Mike. All the best. Happy New Year.
All right, Pat Cummings here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So many layers to this now. And, you know, Pat just rattled through so many of the different things that different options, at least in his opinion, that racing can look at to try to improve this and to move forward. And look, you're going to hear a lot more about this, and I'll have more interviews about this as we move throughout the coming months. But this is going to be a hot button topic. And my thanks to Pat for taking time here this morning. When I come back, a brand new segment that I am so fired up about. That's here on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Healthnetics CBD. For amazing relief of everyday aches and pains, try Healthnetics premium brand CBD.
Broken Vow, a top 15 lifetime active sire with over 170 black type horses, 90 black type winners, and approaching $80 million in progeny earnings. In 2020, Broken Vow produced Saratoga Springs winner Stan the Man and the Speedy M. Primus, winner of the $700,000 turf sprint. Juvenile stakes horses include the Grass is Blue and Chasing Kara. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee. Like their sire, his runners have excelled on both dirt and turf, including these standout performers.
Jump to the wire and Chart. Chart in the center.
Gibberish for E5 Racing Thoroughbred. She won by 5 in the end. Setting the mood as she draws off to win by as much as she wants.
Out of a Galileo mare, this dual surface star has sired juvenile stakes winners on both dirt and turf. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
As the field makes their way down to the eighth pole, it's still Capo Kane. He's trying to take him gate to wire in the Jerome, and he's opened up a two-length lead now. Capo Kane, he wanders to the middle of the track past the 16th pole, but he's three lengths in front of Eagle Orb and comes down to the line, a five-length winner of the Jerome.
How about that? The first race for three-year-olds in the new year went to the son of Darley stallion Street Sense, Capo Kane, who dominated the 1 mile Jerome Stakes by 6 1/4 lengths in gate-to-wire fashion, earning 10 qualifying points for this year's Kentucky Derby. And as for his sire, Street Sense, well, no stallion can top his 4 graded stakes winning Dirt Colts in 2020. And that brilliant victory makes Capo Kane your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Healthnetics CBD.
Well, welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Healthnetics. And if you are hearing me say that for the very first time, you might be wondering, Baron, what on earth is Healthnetics? Well, my reply to you is Healthnetics is a premium brand CBD company. And while many of you have heard the term CBD, you might not be exactly sure what it is or which CBD companies to even trust. So I'm going to help clear it up for you a little bit here this morning. Healthnetics, their products are all natural. They're THC-free, and they're made right here in the USA. They're focused on quality and purity, and all of their products undergo rigorous lab testing with those results posted directly on the packaging. So you can read all about it. So if you have a few aches and pains, some sleep issues, anxiety, stress, whatever it might be, give Healthnetics a try. And with their 100% money-back guarantee, you really have nothing to lose. And how about this? Go to healthnetics.com to place your order right now. That's healthnetics.com. And use promo code HRRN. And you're going to get 15% off plus free shipping. So visit healthnetics.com today. Going to talk with the owner, the founder of Healthnetics, Jack Murray, coming up right around 9:40 Eastern time. Stay tuned for that. But it is time now for a segment that I am so excited about. I'm going to bring you this segment every other week here on the Equine Forum. It is called Unsung Heroes, where I get a chance to shine the spotlight on so many of the hardworking individuals that make our sport a success but rarely find themselves in the spotlight. This segment presented by Claiborne Farm. It is Unsung Heroes.
Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion.
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players, content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Yeah, these are indeed the unsung heroes, and my thanks to Westwood One for the audio clips that you heard in that little open. And I have the privilege of welcoming in Wesley Purcell, who is the Claiborne Farm Broodmare Manager. He is our very first person to be recognized on this new Unsung Heroes segment. Wesley, first of all, good morning, my friend, and thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's obviously a privilege to do this, and I'm glad to be here talking with you.
Yeah, and so excited. You know, Walker, Bernie, all the great people at Claiborne, they stepped up with the sponsorship of this segment, and I thought it would be appropriate that we start with a Claiborne Farm representative. And there's, when you think about the Purcell name, it'd be difficult to find somebody that's more ingrained in the culture of Claiborne than you, my friend. You were raised in a farmhouse on the property, and that name Purcell is pretty much synonymous with Claiborne.
That's correct. My brother and I, we still currently work out here. My father worked here for over close to 40 years, started here in 1970. I've had numerous uncles, actually on both sides of the family work here. So, you know, Claiborne and the Purcells have go back several years, probably starting in the mid-60s with one of my first uncles making his debut out here.
You know, I read an article that had a piece about your uncle Don. Am I correct on that? He was your uncle, right, Don?
Yes, he was a yearling manager for several years.
Yep, and passed away in September, unfortunately. He will be missed. But he worked with Secretariat, Riva Ridge, Roundtable, and even got to meet his favorite actor, John Wayne, at Claiborne.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting when we had the visitation. We saw those pictures, and it's amazing because you hear people talk about, obviously, John Wayne and these horses like Secretary and Riva Ridge and so forth. But for family members to be associated with them and have memorabilia pictures taken with them on both sides of the spectrum with horses and the people, it's just awesome.
What was it like growing up in a house on the property there at Claiborne?
It was kind of second to none. You know, you go out and you do your childhood thing, you know, you're playing basketball or whatever may be in the yard, but you've got these thoroughbreds, this, you know, front door, back door, left and right, beside you every day, and knowing that they're going to make an impact on a lot of people's lives as they, you know, these babies grow and mature and make it to the racetrack, and then the mares or the stallions, you know, come back for their secondary career. So, you know, growing up as a young child, you didn't really know the importance of that. But, you know, your dad worked here and your uncles, and you know there was a major significance, you know, taking place.
You know, every kid likes to have a big backyard to go out and play in. You had acres and acres and acres to go play in if you wanted to. What did your friends and maybe some of the other students that you were in school with growing up think about you living on a horse farm like that?
I remember I believe it was my first grade year, our field trip was to Claiborne Farm. So I'm 6-7 years old, and I'm so ecstatic when they announced that we're going to Claiborne Farm. You know, this is where I live, and I can recall telling my classmates, you know, as we rode the bus out here, you know, I was like the tour guide at 6 years of age, and we passed by my house, you know, something special. Say, hey, I live there, and all the kids thought that was very interesting. But to do that as a young child, and you know, that's one thing that all people remember, you know, where you took your field trip at, you know, in kindergarten, first, second, third grade, and so forth. But to be able to say that I took a field trip to a place that I grew up and I lived on, it still holds a special place in my heart there.
As you were growing up and you started to get a little bit older, did you always think that you would find yourself working at Claiborne?
You know, from day one, you know, the passion of horses and that it's in your blood. You know, your father's coming home and he's talking about horses like Swell and Ruffian, and I mean, I can just sit here and name a list of horses, Easy Goer, we can go down the line. But you know, I wanted to pursue a career in education, and that's what I end up doing, and I got a degree at the University of Kentucky. But as I was doing that, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, I've got this opportunity at Claiborne that's there. And so while I was away from it, I kind of went, you know that that's what you're supposed to be doing in this life.
So what was your first job on the farm?
When I was about 15 years of age, I had a weed eater in my hand. It wasn't the greatest experience, but that's something, you know, as a young kid, that you pay your dues. And I would just go around, you know, the pastures and the lanes of the farm, and we'd weed eat. And as a group of high school, you know, kids, that would do that every year. And my second season out here, I did start working with the mares and the babies. My father was the foreman at that time, so he gave me a lot of great guidance and how to handle yourself around a thoroughbred, the presence needed, and the relationships that you would build with each individual horse. And that's where it really started, was my second season out here.
Well, being around so many of those great mares, I can imagine there have to be a couple that stand out to you for whatever reason. Which ones are always going to hold a special place in your heart, Wesley?
Well, going back early on, of course, we're talking late 80s. I mean, the name Personal Ensign is going to ring a bell for just about everybody listening. But to be around her, and, you know, then she goes on to produce two daughters to win Breeders' Cup races, too. And be three generations of Breeders' Cup winners. You know, she's going to rank up there, if not the, you know, the highest, but she's definitely up there amongst the top. But, you know, going down the line, there's a mare out here. She's by Mr. Prospector. She's pinching now, Praise. She's probably the most easygoing, it's the kindest mare you would ever be around. I love her to death. She's 27 years of age. If I could have a relationship with her, like, or with the rest of them, like I do her, it'd be satisfactory for me.
Visiting with Wesley Purcell, who is the broodmare manager at Claiborne Farm. This is a brand new segment that I'll bring you every other week here on the Equine Forum Show, Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. Wesley, this is the start of foaling season, too, so you're going to be starting to get a lot of babies arriving. Tell me about this time of year and how special it is to see these mares that you have worked with for many, many months and maybe years, and now you get to see their offspring, too. Tell me about what that's like for you as the broodmare manager.
Yeah, we're kind of, you know, it's calm before the storm. We're sitting here getting into the second week of January. I think our first mare's due in a couple of days. This coming year, we have right at 178 mares due. But just every morning, you know, when we start our mornings. We have a night person that takes care of our foaling at night. He's been doing it for 40 years or so. So every morning, that's my first stop, you know, to check in with him and see who was born, you know, the previous night, and just get that first glimpse, you know, and knowing that they're going to be with me for the next basically year of their life. It's something pretty special because you see them as, you know, when they're an hour old or their first day of their life, and then just watch them grow up through the summertime. You see the athleticism, you see the quality, you know, right out of the gate. And you kind of always put those horses on your back burner saying, you know, that one may be special. And I can recall I wasn't working out here full time, but I was working out here part time and enough to be around them and old enough to realize when Pulpit was born, who ends up being one of the, you know, great stallions of our industry and this awesome homebred for Claiborne. I remember him as a young foal, and my brother and I talking about it, that this horse was special. You could just see it in the field, the way his demeanor was, the way he presented himself, and that he just carried it on to his race career and his stallion career. And that's the thing, is just seeing them grow and mature. And then when they hit that track and, you know, that gate opens and you're cheering for one of those horses like it's your children. They cross that finish line, they win a nice race, a grade one, or, you know, a classic race like the Derby with Orb winning in 2013. You know, we always kind of rewind at that point of where it started. And I think about him in the field and, you know, what he was doing as a young horse. And it's just always, you know, it's awesome to see that.
Wesley, what do you think you'd be doing if you weren't working as the broodmare manager at Claiborne right now?
Well, like I said earlier, I had a teaching degree, and I probably would have pursued that to see if that would have worked out or not. You know, every young kid could dream, but I would love to be a professional golfer, but working with horses, that doesn't work out too well. So if I had a dream profession, that would be that.
Well, we heard the Tiger Woods soundbite in the open for this piece, and you know, maybe it's appropriate then that that's one thing that you'd like to do if you could do anything in life would be a professional golfer and emulate a guy like Tiger Woods. That would be pretty special too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, the work ethic that you see guys like that put in, you kind of do that also with the horse industry. You know, you pay attention to detail, and you try to get their athletes. You know, you try to get them to the next stage of their life, and so some of that does go hand in hand.
Well, Wesley, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time, and really appreciate all the hard work that you put in at Claiborne, and not just you, your entire family and the entire team at Claiborne and all the farms across the country, because this is a segment that will recognize so many people that are in your position that work behind the scenes at the racetracks and, you know, grooms, hot walkers, starting gate crew members. We're going to do that every other week, and really appreciate you taking the time here this morning and helping us get this segment off the ground. You are one of racing's unsung heroes.
Thank you for having me. I want to thank the Hancock family. They're second to none to work for. To thank my family is, you know, bringing me into this position. And thank you for having me on the show.
Appreciate it, Wesley. Wesley Purcell here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, our first unsung hero. Hope you enjoyed that segment. Again, every other week is where you'll be able to hear it right here on the Equine Forum. Plus, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and you'll be able to listen to that particular segment on our website at your leisure. We'll have it podcast for you right after the program at 10 o'clock Eastern. When I come back, it's time for today's First Bet, presented by First Bet, and I'll visit with Jack Murray, the founder of Healthnetics CBD, right here on the Equine Forum on HRN, and it is all presented by Healthnetics. For amazing relief of everyday aches and pains, try Healthnetics premium brand CBD.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man, a stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6, who competed in all three Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old, and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home! Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War! Will Take Charge, a final man! Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man has produced two first crop grade one winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
Championship Meet is back at Gulfstream Park now through March 28th with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Thoroughbred stakes action continues with the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup on January 23rd, the Grade 3 Holy Bull January 30th, and much more. Stay in the action from your mobile phone with the First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. On-site viewing is still closed to the public, but you can watch the racing action and get more information at GulfstreamPark.com.
Broken Vow, a top 15 lifetime active sire with over 170 black type horses, 90 black type winners, and approaching $80 million in progeny earnings. In 2020, Broken Vow produced Saratoga Springs winner Stan the Man and the Speedy M Primus, winner of the $700,000 turf sprint. Juvenile stakes horses include the Grass is Blue and Chasing Kara. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Healthnetics CBD.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Time now for another new weekly segment, actually debuted last week. It is today's First Bet, and it's brought to you by our friends at First Bet.
And now, today's First Bet.
And today's first bet comes from race 6 at Santa Anita, which is set to be run at 5:35 Eastern time. It is number 7, The Loot Is Mine, 3-1 on the morning line. The Loot Is Mine has a 31% first bet win projection, rates 16 points higher than the next closest win contender, and is top ranked in 11 of first bet's leading factors for the race. What more do you need? Well, how about this? It's his first time in for a claiming tag, and he brings top connections, trainer Pete Miller and jockey Flavian Pratt. Today's first bet is number 7, The Loot Is Mine, in race 6 at Santa Anita, and I'll be right back after this word from First Bet.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
All right, welcome back. Mike Pennant with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, welcoming in Jack Murray, who is the founder of Healthnetics CBD, the title sponsor of this show over the next several weeks. And Jack, not only the founder of that company, but also a longtime horse racing fan, and he's with me now here on HRRN. Jack, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being aboard. And first of all, thank you so much for all the support. And I've been talking about it now for the past couple of hours, and I'll continue to talk about it over the coming weeks. But your product, your company, Healthnetics, a premium brand CBD product company, it's available online at healthnetics.com. I want to get into your horse racing side of things here in a minute, but let's start with the Healthnetics side. Tell me more about the company and about the products.
Sure. Thanks, Mike. Well, first of all, It was between getting involved with horse racing and Horse Racing Radio Network or a Super Bowl commercial. So I decided, you know what, I like horses better than football, so let's put our money here. But anyway, we first of all, horses has always been a passion of mine. But I'm also an entrepreneur. And a friend of mine and very close advisor of the company had been suffering from MS and had a lot of pain. And he was worried about the damage he was doing to his liver with all of the pain relievers that he was on. And he said CBD changed his life. So we decided we wanted to get into the CBD business, and we wanted to create the best CBD product possible. And we created Healthnetics, and we've been around for a couple of years now and really enjoying what we've been able to do to help other people with their aches and pains as well as some other things. So it's been a lot of fun.
There are so many people listening, Jack, that hear you use the term CBD, and yes, we're familiar with it now. We've heard about it, but they really don't know exactly what it is. So spell that out for me. What is CBD?
Sure. It's a cannabinoid, and the difference with CBD, and people have to understand that CBD does come from the hemp plant, but there's no THC in it. So people think of hemp and marijuana and get a little bit confused. So we extract the CBD from the hemp plant, so there's zero THC in it. In fact, we even have lab results. We triple lab test the product to make sure there's no THC in it. Those results are actually on the package. And so the CBD has a lot of great qualities for pain relief. People are using it to sleep better, to lessen anxiety. So the CBD is interesting. And another piece of it, Mike, that's very important is where you actually get the CBD. The CBD comes from the hemp plant, and the hemp plant is it has very aggressive roots. It sucks everything out of the soil. So the soil in which you plant your hemp is going to be very important in terms of the quality of the CBD. If people had, let's say, a piece of land that was farming other things on it, it might have pesticides and things like that in the soil. Well, the hemp plant will suck that right out of there, and those pesticides could actually be in the product. So you got to make sure you've got organic soil. You've got to make sure you're testing the CBD. And that's why all CBD companies aren't the same. And your listeners probably see CBD everywhere. And I laugh. There's that old Philly, I remember, gas station sushi. Well, there's gas station CBD. And there's CBD at high-end stores. There's it's at the pharmacy. And it's not all the same. You've got to be very careful with what CBD you try. And you've got to try one that people stand by the product, that offer 100% money-back guarantee, but also show exactly what's in the package, what is in that product that you're using. And we do that on our packaging.
Where does the hemp come from that Healthnetics is using in the CBD?
Ours is from California.
All right. And I mentioned that because one of the key focuses of Healthnetics is quality and purity. So is the lab testing that you put the product through, is that how you determine the fact that, yes, this hemp, this is pure, this is top quality? Is that the lab testing?
Yes, and that's such a great point. It is, and we actually test it three times during the process, and it's actually an independent company that does it. So we don't have anything to do with it. It's a whole third party that tests it and certifies it. What you'll notice is every CBD has a certain amount of milligrams. So right now we've got a 500-milligram product and a 1,000-milligram product. There have been studies that show a lot of what other companies are saying that they're providing has significantly less and in sometimes no CBD. So when you test the product, I think our last batch of 500 milligram CBD, I think it tested out at 505. So it actually had a little bit more, which is great. But there are other products out there that when they do those lab tests, they're significantly less. So you're not getting what you paid for.
So many people listening are in the horse business, and they're getting on horses or they're working around horses, and there are aches and pains associated with that. There is stress associated with that. There is anxiety, as there is just in everyday life now, especially the way things are. And CBD, especially all-natural CBD, like Healthnetics, one of the uses, or a couple of the uses for it, is managing those types of issues. And I told people a couple of times throughout the show, I'll mention it one more time, that if you go to healthnetics.com and you order today and you use promo code HRRN, pretty simple, you're going to get 15% off your order plus free shipping. And Jack, I know that's going to be welcome news to so many people who are managing and working through these issues in our sport today.
Yeah, well, it's funny. As you know, I'm a part of a ownership group with horses. Our trainer, some of her family used it, said it was unbelievable. One of our owners that we own the horses with said it's changed his life. Another friend of ours who is in the breeding industry orders every month, and another friend of ours who's a very well-known writer in the industry also orders every month. So I said, you know, this industry is such a great industry. I love every bit of this industry that we're in. I mean, horse racing is very, very important to me. And I said, you know what, this will be the niche that I want to work with. I want to be the CBD product in the horse industry, that the owners and the trainers and the jockeys and the people involved in this great industry, I want them all to think of Healthnetic CBD. That's the CBD that we use. I just wanted to focus on this because I really love this industry so much, and I've had so much fun over the years in it.
Yeah, and I look forward to helping you get the word out there. Healthnetics, of course, they have the 100% money-back guarantee, so you really have nothing to lose. Give it a shot. Get the 15% off using promo code HRN and the free shipping, too, and give it a try. And if it's not for you, send it back. You get the 100% money-back guarantee. Jack, let's go back to the horse racing thing for a minute. Where did this love of horse racing begin for you?
So I always liked it. I'm just outside of Washington, D.C., so, of course, we had Laurel Racetrack. We had Bowie Racetrack and, obviously, Pimlico. I started going to Saratoga every year about 18, 19 years ago. That has been just something that's been so special. And I got into ownership literally right out of college, kind of the old school way where a bunch of college kids put in $1,000 and you lose it, right? You learn and you figure out how to do it a little bit better. And right now, the group I'm with, just great, great guys, literally like family to me, Five Hellions Farm, and we've just had such a fun time. And we always know what's most important, and it's the friendship and the camaraderie and the fun and getting together at the racetrack. You know, when you win, it's just so special, but it's all the other things that are fun as well. And lately we've had one, Mike, that's been really, really fun. We've got 5 wins in a row with our filly Don't Let Sweet Fool You, including 2 straight stakes races over at Laurel, which has just been great. We won the Primonetta back in November, and we won the Willa on the Move in December. So that's just been such a thrill because we've been in it so long, and it's just so hard to win at that level, but we're just so excited.
Yeah, pretty special. And as you summed up, I say this a lot, winning any race, doesn't matter what it is always special. But now you're at the point where you have a horse like Don't Let Sweet Fool You, and she's winning stakes races, and that's a whole nother level too. It's just so special when you can get lucky in this game and be associated with a horse that's that special.
Well, Mike, you're so right. I will tell you a great story. We went out to the, and it's tough because there's no fans, although they're letting owners in, and you go down by the rail, you watch your race, and that's pretty much it. But we had a $10,000 claimer named Half Hammered out of Bourbon Courage. And we went out there, and I'm telling you, she won. And we had every bit as fun and laughed and just celebrated as if we won the Derby. And it was a $10,000 claiming race, and it was an absolute blast. So it's so hard. It's so fun just to be around great people. Shout out to Team Gaudette and our trainer Lacey. She just does a great job. Lacey Gaudette's great. Linda Gaudette, her mom. We've just had so much fun, and we're going to keep it going.
Yeah, you're in great hands with those people. Talking with Jack Murray, by the way, who is the founder of Healthnetics CBD, the title sponsor of this show. Also, as you heard him say, longtime horse racing fan and horse owner. He supports the horse industry, wants to be an integral part of that with Healthnetics. Jack, if you had a couple of things still to accomplish, and I'm sure there are plenty on your racing bucket list, what are some of the things you're looking forward to as we move into 2021 and beyond?
Well, you know, the first thing is just to be able to get back to the races. We always go down to Gulfstream Park to get away from the cold and enjoy that meet. Right now, currently, there's no fans. I know they're allowing fans, I think, at the Pegasus, but I'd love to be able to just get back out to the track. You know, we missed Saratoga, obviously. Just to be able to get back to some of these racetracks and enjoy that time was most special. I think getting there and experiencing racing like I used to know it, where we could attend, is really more important to me than any particular race or any particular personal achievement.
We were put in touch with each other, Jack, by our good friend Dan Mason, who is a former president of CBS Radio. He now works with us. Now that he's retired, he works with us as an analyst on our Horse Racing Radio Network broadcasts. And you go back a ways with Dan Mason. Dan is also a horse racing owner. Talk about that relationship for a minute.
Wow, that's a real special relationship, Mike. Dan Mason, at my very first job out of college, WPGC, great radio station, owned by Cook Inlet, and Dan was the president of Cook Inlet. And I was an intern at that point. I was a paid intern, and I would bring my lunch every day because I couldn't afford to go out, and Dan always brought his lunch. So I had lunch with the president of the company every day, and we became great friends, and he became a mentor, and we kept in touch. And as he kept growing and becoming literally one of the most powerful people in all of radio, running some of the largest companies in the industry, I kept growing in the D.C. market, and I was in the radio business for 20 years before I left to start a marketing firm and do more entrepreneurial things. But Dan Mason is just one of the greatest guys, always a horse lover, a Kentuckian. And I feel very blessed to have learned from Dan, literally one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, I can remember my Dan Mason story, and people will appreciate this. I owe Dan a huge debt of gratitude. When I was starting the network and we were looking to get terrestrial affiliates on board, and I was just picking up the phone and calling stations all over the country that were sports stations and saying, hey, listen, I've got this idea to start a horse racing radio network. I want to put horse racing and live horse racing out there on radio. What do you think? Would you carry it for us? Would you pick up an hour, a half hour? What would you do for us? And I can remember reading an article about Dan Mason being from Kentucky, being a racehorse owner, and being the president of CBS. And I said, what do I have to lose? I sent Dan a note. He actually took my meeting. I flew to New York for the day, and I can remember how intimidated and nervous I was walking into his office. And there was no reason to be, because he was the nicest guy in the world. He sat down. He talked to me all about He had actually been familiar with kind of what we were doing on the Horse Racing Radio Network side, which blew me away. And that's what makes him such a special guy. I'll never forget that he took my meeting that day.
Oh, that is awesome. Yep, he loves, I tell you, I think Dan, such a smart guy, would probably rather talk horses and actual radio than the business side of it because he's just, he loves radio and he loves horses. So what a perfect combination and what a great guy.
Well, Jack, listen, we have a lot of ties together and really looking forward to helping you with Healthnetics over the coming weeks and beyond. And keep it rolling. Healthnetics.com, again, 15% off if you use promo code HRN, plus the free shipping and 100% money-back guarantee. So, Jack, appreciate it. I look forward to helping you over the coming weeks and appreciate you taking the time here this morning, my friend.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. I really enjoyed it. Can't wait to talk again. Take care.
All right, Jack Murray, founder of Healthnetics CBD. I didn't know I could have gotten away with charging Super Bowl ad prices. It's killing me, man. All right, going to get to a break. We'll come back and wrap this one up. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Gainsway stallion Cara Conti is off to a strong start at stud. A leading sire amongst his crop by percentage of stakes horses, top runners by Cara Conti include greatest stakes winners Kenzai Warrior.
But Kenzai Warrior is sticking his head down and getting up. Kenzai Warrior wins the Horace Hill.
Sole Volante.
On the outside, Sole Volante runs by the leader. It's Sole Volante in front and going away.
Two-year-old stakes winner Spanish Love Affair.
16th to go, Spanish Love Affair almost home. Spanish Love Affair lives up to the hype and wins it 1-2.
And dual surface dynamo, Princess Grace.
16th to go, Princess Grace still in front. Pasta Plate is trying hard, but she's second to Princess Grace, streaking under the wire, the three-length winner.
A rising star with greatest stakes winners on both dirt and turf, Cara Conti, standing at Gainsway.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Racing fans, Santa Anita Park wishes you and yours a happy, healthy new year. And although there is still no public admittance, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live. And you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. This Saturday, older fillies and mares take center stage in the Grade 3 $200,000 La Cañada Stakes at a Milam 1/16th and in the Grade 3 La Cienegas, which will be run for the first time out of Santa Anita's brand new turf chute at 6 furlongs. On Sunday, fillies and mares go 6.5 furlongs on the main track in the $75,000 Kalukan Queen, which also offers up to $22,500 in California bred incentives. First post time on Saturday is early at 12 noon, so tune in early to santaanita.com/live as track announcer Frank Miramati and Tom Quigley will handicap all of the races beginning at 10:50 a.m.
I'm Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. 155 years ago, President Lincoln called upon us to care for America's veterans. Today, you can help answer that call. We are looking for physicians, nurses, and other medical professionals to help protect veterans from the coronavirus. Go to va.gov/joinus or text VA physician or VA nurse to 97211.
Hi, this is Jackie Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Healthnetics CBD.
Don't forget that you can have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay, videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day, or delivered daily in an email. Both of those are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. My thanks to all of our guests who made this show possible. It was busy. Elliot Walden from Windstar, trainer Brad Cox, Pat Cummings from the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, our Unsung Heroes segment with Wesley Purcell from Claiborne, and Jack